Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at.
This budget was focused from start to finish on the people of Illinois. Our
deliberations. Lawmakers weigh in on the new $55 billion state spending plan passed in Springfield over the weekend.
1,000 years ago, I did a show called Entourage.
And actor Jeremy Piven is on tour. He's bringing his comedy home to Chicago. And now to some of today's top stories. Illinois State Police keeps data on who they suspect to be gang members. And they make that information available to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement despite state law that prohibiting data sharing agreements between state law enforcement and federal immigration authorities. WTTW News obtained agreements that show state police have provided alleged gang data and other criminal history to ICE since 2008. The Illinois Attorney General's office has not responded to WTTW's inquiries about whether this violates state law. You can read this whole explosive investigative story on our website, WTTW.com/news. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case brought by Republican Congressman Mike Bost of Illinois. At issue is whether the state can continue to count mail-in ballots after Election Day. Under Illinois law, mail-in ballots can arrive and be counted up to 2 weeks after Election Day, as long as they are postmarked on or before the election. Lower federal courts have so far only ruled that Bost didn't have standing to sue because he was not injured by the state ballot law. The Supreme Court will likely hear the case in the fall. Chicago and Cook County officials kicked off Pride Month this morning by raising the Pride flag at Daley Plaza.
We are commemorating a riot. In 1969, two brave trans women, Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, said that we will never go back into the shadows of history. And let us be clear, in this moment, as the Trump administration tries to legislate us out of history, we will not go back.
You can also celebrate Pride by taking a ride on the Red Line. The CTA's 8th annual Pride train features a new exterior design, and inside each rail car are cards containing local history and information. For more on that, please visit our website. Up next, Illinois lawmakers talk about the new state budget right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
Illinois lawmakers worked right up to that May 31st deadline to pass a $55.2 billion spending plan for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget includes ways to fill declining revenue with new taxes on sports betting and nicotine products while increasing spending by nearly 4%. State Democrats say the plan accounts for an uncertain future, while Republicans say more cuts are needed to address what's ahead. Joining us now are Republican State Representative Dan Ugaste, who represents cities like Geneva and St. Charles. And on Zoom, we have Republican State Senator Don DeWitt, who represents cities like Batavia and West Dundee. Democratic State Representative Will Guzzardi, representing communities like Logan Square and Portage Park. And Democratic State Senator L.G. Sims, who has constituents in Calumet City and South Holland. Gentlemen, thank you all for joining us. I know it has been a busy time for all of you. So, as is usually the case, the budget was passed right at the deadline over the weekend, and it may be a tough way to start the discussion, I know, but is that the best way to do it? Does it hurt transparency and thoughtfulness when the budget happens so quickly like that? Representative Ugaste, I'll start with you, please.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the worst way to pass a budget. The public gets very little time to vet it, much less we who are in the minority party when the budget's given to us a few hours before a committee hearing is to be held as to whether or not we're going to pass the budget out and it goes to the House floor. Our people have very little time to look at it. The public has no time to look at it. And within 24 hours, we're voting on it on the floor, and there's been amendments that, again, do not go to committee.
Representative Guzzardi, same question to you.
First of all, this budget is very similar to the budget that the governor introduced in February, which has been a matter of public record for some time. But also, I'll say it's really important for us to make accurate projections for next year, because the budget is just a forecast. So we need the April tax receipts from April 15th to have a forecast of what our tax revenues are going to look like for next year. And we don't tabulate all that stuff until early to mid-May. So really, we have a crunch of 2 or 3 weeks at the end of session when we have to use those forecasts to make the most accurate predictions we possibly can. And that's why we're often backed up right toward the deadline.
So we've got both sides of the aisle represented here tonight, and thank you all for joining us. Do you think this was a collaborative process? Senator Sims, I'll start with you.
Absolutely. I mean, we've met with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle for several times. Not just in our committee hearings, but meetings afterwards to identify issues of concern and commonality. So we did have discussions across the aisle. I would echo Representative Guzzardi that much of what's in this budget has been out there for months. It is a process of trying to get to the deadline. But I'd also remind, this is not uncommon. Our colleagues in Indiana passed their budget at 2 a.m. So it is not an uncommon practice.
Senator DeWitt.
Well, I appreciate LG's perspective. We do get our opportunity to insert what we believe priorities in the budget process. There's a couple of things that I really think show what kind of budget we passed this year. For the first time in as far back as I can remember, there were Democratic votes against this budget. There were also a number of Democrats who simply chose to take a walk. They decided that was a good time to go pick up a cup of coffee out of the break room. Any budget that starts out with $1 billion in tax increases that ultimately get passed on to our residents, along with an expansion of over $8 billion in the ability to borrow money, those are not good indicators that we're dealing with a good budget. And I think that process needs to change moving forward.
Okay, let's talk about go ahead.
Could I just add, so in the House, there were zero meetings between the Democrat budgeteers and our budgeteers. They weren't interested in hearing what we had to say. And Leader McCombie mentioned it in her final speech that for the first time since she's been leader, there was no meeting between the four leaders and the governor this year. First time. Don't know why.
Representative Guzzardi, is that your experience?
Yeah, no, that's not accurate at all. Our budget leaders met regularly throughout session with the Republican budget leaders. Representatives Buckner and Delgado had extensive meetings with the Republican budgeteers. And, of course, our budget is made through a process of appropriations hearings and the various appropriations committees, which are bipartisan and public meetings in which our Republican colleagues had a great deal of input to offer. And we heard those suggestions and we incorporated some of them into the budget that you see today.
Okay. I want to talk about the tax increases that Senator DeWitt mentioned. Senator Sims, tell us what you all did, please. How are you raising the revenue that the state needs this year?
Well, there's several options that were built into this budget. One, I think the reality is the revenue package was built into three broad buckets. One, tax collection. One was choices, one's probably government and other. And in that collection bucket, you have a tax amnesty program where when we did this several years ago, it was estimated that about $200 million could be captured. So that includes corporate and individual filers who have not paid taxes, who have now had the opportunity to send those taxes in. Then you have what's called under current law, there is a transfer from of sales tax dollars into the road fund. We've now paused that to make sure that those dollars can remain available. This is kind of wonky. There is a Joyce tax collection plan. We have moved from the Joyce plan to the Finnegan plan, which allows for us to capture more dollars and have it. We are now in line with the majority of states.
Sure. And sorry, I don't want to interrupt, because I do want to get to sort of like the pocketbook of how that's going to affect Illinoisans. For example, 25 cents per wager for sports betting licensees, first 20,000 wagers accepted, 50 cents after that. Taxes on tobacco products are going up, as well as for vape and nicotine products. And then there are some taxes that will impact businesses as well. Senator DeWitt, I want to come to you on this.
As I mentioned, those are taxes on folks who make the choices to engage in those activities. So those are not broad-based tax increases. Those are not broad-based revenue ideas. Only those individuals, the revenue plan breaks down into those three buckets, and those the items that you just mentioned are that bucket of choices. So not everyone is a sports bettor, or not everyone uses tobacco products.
Can I weigh in there too, if you don't mind?
Sure. Go ahead, Representative, and then I want to get our GOP members in. Go ahead.
Absolutely. On the wagering tax, it's not a tax on the bettor themselves. It's a tax on these sports books, DraftKings, FanDuel, that are incredibly profitable enterprises here in our state. And on the nicotine, there's this growing use among young people of these things called Zyn pouches. I'm sure you're familiar with them. They're nicotine products that aren't taxed like other tobacco products. And we know that raising tobacco taxes is a great way to drive use down, especially among young people. And we're dedicating some of the revenue from that tobacco tax into tobacco cessation, smoking cessation programs targeted at our young people to make sure they're not using unhealthy products.
Okay. And that's just to name a few. There are others. Representative Ugasti, first to you, and then to Senator DeWitt.
Sure.
How are these taxes, among others, going to impact Illinois families?
They're going to hurt them at a time when they're struggling. And the Democrats tell us people are struggling. This is going to increase costs on them. And it may be because they choose to use tobacco, or a little bit of their leisure time is spent on sports betting. But the taxes on business, when business gets hit with a tax, they pass through that cost to consumers. That's all Illinoisans. That's a broad-based tax, whether they want to call it that or not. The simple thing is they have raised taxes again for record spending when we didn't need to. We had record revenue the year before. We could have kept spending at that level. They raised it again so they could spend on other projects. Plus, they're taking money out of the road fund and other dedicated funds. So the Representative Guzzardi's statement that we're dedicating these to certain causes means nothing. They will take and sweep that money aside when they choose to spend it differently.
Senator Sims.
Yeah, I guess this speaks directly to the priorities that we outline and that we have. We are trying to make sure that particularly those companies that are using these complex accounting schemes to avoid paying tax are making sure that we recover that and we recoup that, so that we can make the investments necessary to make a better quality of life for working families. That's what this is about. This is not about trying to pass those costs along. We're not the ones who are saying that for those schemes that some of these companies are engaging in to avoid taxation, that should not be the case. We should be making sure that everyone is participating, so our economy is growing and is great for everyone.
Senator DeWitt, I want to give you the opportunity to go ahead and jump in here as well before we move on.
Thank you, Brandis. Well, my colleague, Representative Ugasti, is absolutely right. Anybody who doesn't understand that these tax increases don't ultimately fall onto the shoulders of taxpayers and hardworking Illinoisans across this state is simply trying to mask the fact that big businesses are going to be punished because they make so much money. That is absolutely ludicrous. Let's remember the governor's comments during his budget speech back in February. He specifically made the statement, if you expect to spend money on projects, you better tell me where you're going to cut. That didn't happen. What happened was $1 billion worth of tax increases, $8 billion more in borrowing. That's not how to build a budget. We need to cut spending. We cannot continue. 40% increase in the state's budget since Governor J.B. Pritzker came into office. It took 30 years for this state to get to a $20 billion budget, and it's a very short time, we're over $50 billion. It's unsustainable, and it affects every working, hardworking Illinoisan across the state.
Just a couple of seconds left. The one thing we didn't talk about here is public transit, because funding for that is still unclear. Senator Sims, likelihood that you all are going to have to come back to figure this out in about 15, 20 seconds.
Well, I think we'll come back when the world calls for us to come back. We'll keep having the discussions. We've passed the transit bill out of the Senate. It's in the hands of the House now. So Leader Ghazardi and my colleagues there are continuing to have those discussions about what that package looks like, and we'll come back when the time is right.
Okay. Brandis, this is an additional $1.5 billion tax increase on top of the $1 billion tax increase that was passed for the budget. Most of that burden will be borne by suburbanites. It's nothing more than a bailout for CTA in the city of Chicago.
I apologize, gentlemen, I'm going to have to cut it off.
We look forward to having
all of you back and your colleagues when we have to talk about this again. I will leave the debates for Springfield. Thanks to Representative Dan Ugasti, Representative Will Ghazardi, Senators Don DeWitt and LG Sims. Thanks so much. Up next, actor and comedian Jeremy Piven on his latest projects. Many fans know Jeremy Piven from his on-screen persona in the HBO hit show Entourage. The actor, who grew up in Evanston, is now turning to the stage with a new stand-up tour, which he has brought home to Chicago. He's performing at the Vic Theater this Friday. Here's a sample of what he's bringing to the stage.
1,000 years ago, I did a show called Entourage. Could you imagine if we tried to reboot that today in this climate? Right? Because we used to have billboards everywhere. Just those billboards today, 5 straight, white, focused men coming straight at you. If you had those billboards today, people would be like, is that a documentary about January 6th? What is that?
And joining us now is Emmy Award-winning actor Jeremy Piven. Welcome to Chicago tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I apologize. I'm on the street.
Well, that's probably the best place to find you, isn't it?
Yes, I'm on the street. Absolutely. I'm a streetwalker, and I'm handing out flyers. This is what happens. You know, when you grow up in Chicago and you understand the grind, it never stops.
Chicago will make a performer out of you, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, the community, I don't even think they realize how special they are, because actors that grow up here, the community comes out and they support you, no matter if you're in a 99-seat house or a big, beautiful theater. And so we get the reps. So by the time we leave Chicago, we're ready. So I'm giving back, and I'm coming home to shoot my special.
And of course, you're known for your role in Entourage. As you're handing out these flyers, are people calling you Ari Gold?
Yeah, they're like, let's hug it out, bitch. That's what they say to me. I'm a douchebag because of you, Ari. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We're in temple. Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi. We're in temple. But thank you.
How does it feel not just to be home, but as you said, performing in Chicago and recording your special here? Oh, darn. I think we might have lost Jeremy Piven, ladies and gentlemen, because he's on the street and he was handing out flyers. So hopefully we will get him back shortly. As we said, Jeremy Piven there, he is flyering around some neighborhood in Chicago because he is performing at the Vic Theater this Friday. To my understanding, he's actually got 2 shows because the first one sold out. And he's from Evanston, so we're going to do our best to get him back in a couple of minutes shortly. Until then, we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Thanks for bearing with us through our technical difficulties. But I have a friend here, Aaron Cahoe. He is with our membership drive team here at WTTW. And you have sort of a special message for viewers.
I do. We started our membership drive just a couple of days ago. And it's a very important message to the viewers that the news that you find here every day only happens because viewers step up and give back. I have the gift of being able to see behind the scenes
yes.
of Chicago Tonight. I know all the hard work that goes into it. You take the viewer's perspective and their need to heart. You are here as a service, and this only happens because viewers give. And you might not think that a gift of $5 or $5 a month matters, but it does. Those small gifts really add up. And because of that, this news is here for you every day. And we can't forget, Brandis, we have a $5,000 match that's going on right now.
Cannot forget that.
That's right.
Yes, Victoria Frank, am I right?
That is exactly right.
Supporting that match, right? And so, you know, like you said, $5, maybe $10 a month, whatever you're comfortable with, that gets you the Passport membership, which, as a member, I find very valuable because it means I can watch a lot of my favorite shows whenever I want to while I drop my pen. but it also supports the very important work that we do here at Chicago Tonight and that you'll probably see on PBS NewsHour right after this, which is providing, you know, that independent and unbiased information. You see what we do here on Chicago Tonight, which is we just had four lawmakers, four state legislators explaining themselves and the budget that they just came up with, and, you know, giving them that full time to sort of go back and forth and hopefully asking the questions that viewers want to know the answer to. So that's what Chicago Tonight's all about, and that's how, you know, we hope our viewers support that.
That's exactly right, and I rely on Chicago Tonight for stuff like that. I know the budget is a big, complicated topic. I really don't understand what's going on, but when I tune in, I get the pieces I need to understand, and that happens because viewers right now are giving, and we need you to be one of those viewers.
All right. Thank you, Aaron Cahoe from our membership drive team for joining us. We appreciate you, and we appreciate you. And that's our show for this Monday night. Join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10 o'clock. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you so much for watching. Be safe. Have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that serves the needs of clients in the Chicago area and throughout the nation.